When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Playing with Squirrels podcast. I am joined today by Stephen Bay of the Analog Jones and the Temple of Video podcast. Did I get that right?
Temple of Film, you're pretty close.
Ah, it is so close.
It's kind of a long title. We kind of just go by Analog Jones.
I was tempted to just stop there because it is a very long title that I never get the full name on my phone when I'm listening to the episodes. You are also the man who gave us a website for my other podcast, Horror Movie Night. So I had to have you on to this much less listened to podcast that I do to promote your stuff.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
So, we're going to talk about Boy Meets World. We're going to talk about Boy Meets World Season 1, Episode 12. We're going to talk about the episode called Once in Love with Amy that aired on January 7th, 1994. I had a good string of really good, insightful episodes. I don't think this was one of them, though. This one kind of was the cliche 90s sitcom that I remember the first season of Boy Meets World kind of being at times.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, wow, this is really a soft episode. Then I looked into it a little bit, and it's written by Ken Kota, who also did a lot of Family Matters. So I think it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, no, this could be a Family Matters episode. It could be a Full House episode, which they make a reference to Full House in this episode.
Yeah, it was one of those where I was like, I was watching it, and this felt like what I thought all of Boy Meets World was until I did this episode. And then I almost finished the entire rest of season one just finishing it.
Yeah, no, so season one, like season one is an imperfect season of this show. I think right around season three is where they really start to make it that like out of fucking nowhere sitcom that people remember it for being. But season one is so uneven because there's like some episodes that are just like bubblegum, like kids show. And then there's like really heavy episodes in season one that come out of nowhere.
They just had to make some fillers to get through it all.
Maybe. Like, we've talked about it in the past, but there was, like, the one episode where, like, Corey teaches the class about Anne Frank, and it's, like, terrifyingly relevant still. But here we are with this episode, just kind of a cheesy bubblegum episode. It's got two subplots going on, but really, like, the one is barely a subplot. The first story that we are introduced to is the fact that Mr. Feeney proposes a question in which one man can wash his car in 6 minutes and the other man can wash the exact same car in 8 minutes. So how long will it take for them to wash the car if they work together?
You didn't say there would be math in this episode, so I was scared.
Well, this is the weirder thing. Why, like, so we'll get into this a little bit more. But there's no reason for Feeney to be teaching this. Like, it is a completely, like, this is a question designed to teach, like, a belief and a philosophy and a theory. But it's not, like, something that a sixth grade teacher is teaching their students. But
I'm confused. Is Feeney an English teacher, a math teacher, or does he do it all?
So, I think I don't know about how your school was, but, like, when I was in elementary school, it was you had one teacher that taught everything. And then, like, junior high into high school is when you started to have, like, a different teacher for each subject. I think in the first, like, two seasons, they just treat the middle school the same as elementary school, where you just have one teacher for all of your classes. And then in high school, when he becomes in the high school years, he's an English teacher for some for some of the seasons, and then he becomes the principal of the school. And then I forget how he gets involved in the college years, but I think he ends up becoming like an assistant dean at the college or something like that. But he's always there. And
he's always lurking.
Yeah, and they bring it up a lot, which is they acknowledge that it's absurd. I always remember one of the episodes, I think it may have even been the last episode, Corey's talking to his newest sibling who was just born, because his parents are still just, I mean, it shows in this episode, they love to get down with the fucking, so like,
no doubt,
they birth out another kid, and he says, like, you know, there's a lot of things that you're going to learn, and one of those is that Mr. Feeney will be your teacher every year for the rest of your life. This episode introduces the concept of Minkus being wrong and him not being able to handle it, and also reminding us that the first season of Topanga, she's really fucking weird.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I was like, wow, that's not... Oh, man. Season one just kind of evaporated from my mind. And so did Minkus. And I'll be honest, when I was a kid, I think I hated Minkus, but as an adult, I kind of wanted more of him.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
That's a thing that I've talked about a lot in previous episodes, is that Minkus is, like, secretly the best character in the first season of this show. But, yeah, as a kid, I was like, oh, what a loser. Which was, like, really weird for me to be saying, because I was certainly more of a Minkus than, like, a Sean. I maybe was a Corey, but, like, I probably would have been friends with Minkus in school, so I don't understand why I joined the hive mind of, like, Minkus sucks.
Yeah, I was kind of a Frankenstein of those three. I had the hair of Sean, the mentality of Corey, but I was a loser just like Minkus.
You still have the hair of Sean.
Oh, thank you.
The other subplot of this episode is their mom potentially cheating on their dad while lying that she's going to bowling, which leads to like two or three of my favorite quotes in this episode. One of them being when they start to search their mom's bowling bag and they're finding all this evidence that she's most certainly not going to go bowling. And they pull out the red shoes, and Sean has a line where it's like, I think you'll find the number right there above the spiked heel. But the line that I love is when they pull out the red dress and Corey says, what does this mean? And Eric says, it means mom's going to be flashing a lot of leg when she goes for that 7-10 split. Which
is... I'll be honest, their mom's pretty good looking.
No, Mrs. Matthews is fine.
Yeah. I was going conservative with mine, but if we're going to be honest, yeah. She's DD.
But yes. So,
I couldn't even get out.
So they decide that they're going to, like, sneak out. They're going to track down their mom. They're going to let Sean watch their their sister, Morgan. And they're going to find out once and for all what mom's been up to. And somehow they cannot see who the guy is that she's with, only that she's out dancing with somebody. Which I feel like any adult at this point has figured out what the twist is already. But...
Yeah, it didn't take much.
And it's such a weird twist. Like, it's so bizarre. And even her justification, I'm like, no, that's still, like, really weird. Like, she's like, we like to sneak around because it makes it exciting, because it's, like, breaking the rules. It's like, that's weird. Don't tell your...
But you're only breaking the rules to the kids.
Yeah, like, why are you telling your kids this?
Like, if you were doing it, like, you know, going around maybe your mom or, say, your boss or something, that's fun and exciting. But your kids, you're like, wah,
well, it's like,
wah.
If they had no problem watching the little sister when you had bowling, like, I'm pretty sure if you're just like, hey, your dad and I need to go out and just have a night for ourselves, can you watch the kid? They also would have been like, fine, because that is just as important as bowling. Like, it's not... At least, like, dad was like, oh, I have, like, a business meeting to go to. Like, she's just like, I got a bowl? Like, I don't know. I feel like...
Yeah, I wasn't buying it. I don't think she's a bowler.
Not at all. She does not have the build of a bowler. And I used to be in a bowling league. I've seen women bowlers.
Is that like pear shaped?
Yeah, do you remember that one like German exchange girl in Dodgeball? Like that's essentially yeah.
Oh wow, I do remember actually.
So there's a
We just showed our Minkus there. Total dorks.
The other big quote that I love in this episode is Corey doing everything in his power not to like spill the beans to his dad after they come back. And as Eric's trying to explain it, he keeps screaming like, "Mom was with another guy!" And then eventually she just yells, "Do I have to draw you a picture?" Like, and I love that line for whatever reason. So then he goes outside and he talks to the mom and he's like, "Hey, they caught on to us. They didn't see me, but they saw you. Like, you're not very secretive. Good work." And then she explains to them that she was out dancing with their father, to which Eric yells, "Dad's not our father."
yeah, that made me laugh.
But, I mean, it is what it is. And then you go back to the classroom and Corey's answer to the question about the guy washing the car and the other guy who can wash the same car in 8 minutes is that there is no answer. And
yeah, I didn't like that. I was like, no. I think the
answer's 6 minutes. Probably. I think that the one dude's not going to slow down the other guy's time to do anything. He'll just be able to do a portion of it, but he'll probably still get it done in about 6 minutes. But
now in Minkus's little arithmetic that he was writing on the board, I really wish I would have froze it there. I guarantee you there's some good Easter eggs in that.
Probably. Did you catch the little credit sequence where he creates time travel multiple times?
Yeah. That's a good trivia question here. When you're done with all these seasons, you need to come up with it and you'll be like, who technically traveled in time in this show?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of answers because Corey also technically traveled through time in a couple episodes.
Oh man, really?
Yeah. Yeah, there's two different episodes. There's one where he bangs his head and somehow travels to the 50s where he's called to war. That one was Salem the Cat from Sabrina caused them to travel back in time to the 50s. And then there's another one.
What, this had a crossover with Sabrina?
Yeah, it was like a TGIF like lineup where each episode, like a character from one episode would bleed into the next show. So like then like someone from Boy Meets World appeared in Step by Step and so on and so forth. There's actually two Sabrina crossovers. There's a Halloween episode in which a coven of witches want to use Eric Matthews' house to do like a giant ritual, and he ends up fighting the witches and he's like, "No more witches for me," and then he goes on a date with Melissa Joan Hart at the end of the episode. Wow. So yeah, they used to do a lot of Sabrina Boy Meets World mixing. But then in the last season, there's like a weird episode where Corey finds like a Being John Malkovich style door in their new apartment that leads him to like live in a gritty 1930 like film noir world. Like,
yeah, I remember the last couple seasons started to have a couple wacky episodes. Like the writers were getting a little bored.
The best wacky episode, and I can't wait to actually get to talk about it in like another 5 years, is when Eric gets hired to act in a TV show called Kid Gets Acquainted with the Universe. It's such an awesome meta episode. But yeah, I mean, this was an okay episode, is what it comes down to. Especially, like, the last three or four episodes I talked about were so much better than I anticipated them being. This one was just exactly what I expect from a first season episode.
Yeah, it was one of those that, you know, you're not going to remember it, but it got them through the first season, and, you know, a lot of these episodes helped them to continue the show. So it is what it is. It's a filler.
Yeah. So, question for you, though. So you said that this episode kind of led you down a rabbit hole of binging a bunch of Boy Meets World.
It did.
So what is your, like, history with Boy Meets World? What is your memories of it? Were you a, like, run home and watch it on Friday night instead of hanging out with normal people type kid?
Yes. Yeah, as I said before, I was a Frankenstein of them, and my Minkus part was definitely my social weirdness. You know, I played some some D&D. I was what you'd call a fatlete. I was out of shape, but still playing in sports. So that's, I didn't do much on Friday nights. That's what I'm trying to tell you here.
I like the term fatlete. I'm going to have to use that to describe a decent chunk of my childhood.
It's great. So, yes, 1994, I believe, is when the show started. Am I right?
1993 into 94, yeah.
93. So what I always remember is they basically traveled from year to year the same time period I did throughout middle school and high school. And I think they graduated in 2000 or 99?
It was season 5, I think, is when they graduated. So, yeah, 99.
Yeah, so I grew up with the show while Corey was growing up and Sean. So it was one of those crazy, it just really got its nails into me, sunk them deep, and I was addicted to the show throughout. My brothers, who are only 1 year younger than me, they're identical twins, we watched the hell out of this show, and Friday nights were huge. Now, we all hated Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which I think it just happened to be. I don't know why. Maybe it's because we were all boys and we just like, oh, a girl's show. Luckily, we've grown up and we love girls, don't we, guys? Oh, they can't answer. So, yeah, it was one of those. I love the show and I kind of forgot how much I liked it. Then you invited me on. I watched season 12. Which surprisingly led me down the rabbit hole, because it's kind of a C-level, D-level episode. But, man, I forgot how much I love this.
Yeah, no, it's worth getting all the seasons on DVD and watching repeatedly. that's how this podcast came to be, was how often I would do a yearly watching of the entire series.
The entire series? Once a year?
Usually I'd skip season 1, but yeah, I'd do seasons 2 through 7, like, once a year.
And you, I was like, maniac.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a handful of shows that I try to like visit yearly or buy like every other year, and it's like this, Buffy, Scrubs, like there's like those certain shows. Daria was like a big one I would always revisit. But this show, I found like the older I got, the more of an appreciation I had for it, especially because it really, in the later seasons, it stands out among a lot of the other TGIF shows.
I would agree. I definitely remember this. I remember specific moments from episodes, and that's something I would rarely do with, say, like, you know, a 90s sitcom.
Yeah.
I can't tell you one, you know, Family Matter, or no, I'm not Family Matter. I can't tell you one Full House episode at all.
Yeah, or like a Step by Step episode. Like those. All I remember about Step by Step is that there was a roller coaster in the opening scene. Like, that's as far as my knowledge goes. So you bring that up. Let me ask you this then. What to you, like, what is, like, your iconic Boy Meets World memory that you've never forgotten?
Okay, now that I bring it up, I don't remember the title, but I do remember the subject line in it, and it's when Sean's dad is sick. And I don't know, he's in the hospital, you know, he's got all of his wires connected to him, and it's really deep for Sean. And I always remember that just, like, really getting me as a kid, like, oh, not everyone has, like, a mom and a dad like I do. And if they do, you know, they can get sick, which I never had to suffer through.
Yeah.
I don't know. That one stuck to me.
Yeah, I feel like no one really brings that one up, but that is a heavy. A lot of the Sean-centric stuff about his parents is really heavy shit for a kid's show back then, because we didn't.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't really cover, like, dead. Like, it was weird because his dad was a deadbeat dad, but his dad wasn't a deadbeat dad at the same time. Like, his dad didn't have a job and he didn't, like, do a lot with Sean, but, like, as the show goes on, you realize that it's always been because he knew that other people would raise him better and be able to give Sean a better life than he could. And it was like this weird, like, pseudo-redemption element to his character.
Yeah, he did have a lot of really deep episodes throughout this. And little segments, too, where he was always kind of the quote-unquote bad influence. I think even Corey's dad one time called him that in a show. I can't recall, though. I may be wrong. Did he? Okay.
He definitely did. He definitely did. Yeah. And, I mean, there was an episode that dealt with, like, Sean's rampant alcoholism in, like, later seasons. Yeah. Like, They really used him as like their message character.
Yeah, I'm thinking the show got so popular one time, they really gave them a lot of leeway to just experiment, especially the one where Topanga was hooked on crack. That was a rough one. Do you remember that one? that might be a deleted scene. I don't know.
You might be thinking of that Saved by the Bell episode.
Was it Speed? She was like studying on Speed.
Something like that. Or that maybe that's Empire Records. I don't remember. There's so many message movies and shows from this time
period. Well, that actress went on to do one of the greatest movies of all time, Showgirls. I think we all remember and love that.
This is very true. Well, all right, Stephen, thank you for joining us on the show. We try to keep these bad boys short because, again, first season's not really giving us all of the greatest material in history. But if people want to check out Analog Jones and the Temple of Film, what is the show about and where can I hear it?
Matt and I, and that's Matt too, not Matt you, we review VHSs that you would find in, say, your, you know, closet or any type of flea market. And we try to find the gold in them and we put them in our museum. At the end of each show, we have a museum for either what's good or what's bad and what we can learn from. So we try to stay positive. But we do end up kind of making fun of some some pretty bad ones.
What was the roughest one you think you've watched so far?
Now some people are going to take offense to this, and we found out. I thought The Adventures of Baron Munchausen was just a nightmare of, like, overstimulus. And the same thing tied with that was Cool World.
So Cool World is a movie that I have, like, multiple times almost put on, like, the, you know, like when Horror Movie Night does the you vote for one of three movies that's not a horror movie for us to kick off the year with. Cool World is always an almost one for me that I almost put as my movie. Because that movie is just, there's so much to dig into with that movie.
It's bonkers. I can't even describe what they were thinking. Now, part of it is that it's sort of unfinished because of how bad the studio messed with it. And I don't want to get into it because we'll go down that rabbit hole. That movie is crazy.
Yeah, no, I wish, and this has nothing to do with Boy Meets World, but let's say it. I'm not sure I can't remember if you guys talked about this on that episode. I know I listened to that episode, but it was a while back. I've been for like maybe 5 years, probably longer than that, a big component on, like, if there was any movie that I wish I could have seen the original idea of, it would have been the original version of Cool World that that was planned with, like, the crazy half-human, half-cartoon serial killer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ralph Bakshi actually described it as Roger Rabbit meets Child's Play, and I was like, sold.
Yeah, that sounds great. Like, I still want someone to make that movie. But where can people go to check out Analog Jones and the Temple of Film?
You can check us out on Podbean or iTunes. Just search Analog Jones and it will pop up. You don't have to put in that whole long title.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Stephen. We will definitely have you back when season two rolls around. And I hope that, I've introduced you to your new favorite retro show. So, enjoy your continued downward spiral into Boy Meets World fandom.
All right. Thank you.